we can. Okay, gentlemen, what I'd like to do with you today is complete what we are doing in Simen Kuf Tzadi in terms of Ksamim. There are going to be certain dinim that we do not cover. However, we're covering more in Ksamim than I've covered in any year previously. The Gemara Daf Yud Daled tells us that there is a difference between a Eid Baduk and an Eid She'eno Baduk. Yesterday we spoke about an Eid Baduk. If you check yourself with an Eid Baduk, so then the halacha is your Tameh, even if it's a Kol Shehu, etc. These are the halachos of Eid Baduk that emerged yesterday. On Daf Yud Daled, the Gemara has the discussion of what Eid Baduk, where on Daf Yud Daled, let's say it like this, there is a discussion of Eid She'eno Baduk, and then you find Dam on it. Eid She'eno Baduk, and you pass up a Kufsa, then you find Dam. So the Gemara tells us that Reb Chiya originally said it was Tomei. Later on, he said it was Tahar. The Gemara goes on and explains that there is a question. When we say Tomei, does that mean that it's Tomei Mishum Nida or Mishum Kesem? Meaning to say, do I treat it like it's a Vadai or do I treat it like it's a Safek? And what emerges from the Gemara is that there seems to be three positions in the Gemara. There is an opinion that by Eid She'eno Baduk, again, we'll define the terms in a minute, there is an opinion that Eid She'eno Baduk is Tamei Mishum Nida. There is an opinion that Eid She'eno Baduk is Tamei Mishum Kesem. And there's a third opinion, which is that Eid She'eno Baduk is Tahar entirely. The Gemara has a comparison, which we'll speak about the next time we learn, which is the basis of Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph. The comparison is between Eid She'eno Baduk and a woman who sees dam during urination. It's not abundantly clear what the Gemara means when it makes this comparison, but there is such a comparison in the Gemara. And there is a position in Tanoim, the position of Rabbi Yossi, who says that when a woman sees floating urination, she is entirely tahora, no matter what. If that would be the case, so then I would have, even though it's not explicit in the Gemara, I'd have three shitos. And there is a possibility that Eid She'eno Baduk is going to be entirely tahar. This issue comes up on our page in the Achronim. In Achronim, it comes up both in the Shach, in Os Mem Daled, and in the Taz somewhere, I think in Chaf Daled. There is a machlokes as to what is the halacha by an Eid She'eno Baduk. But as a matter of halacha, the position that an Eid She'eno Baduk, an unchecked cloth, will put unchecked in like quotations, unchecked. And so as a matter of halacha, we assume that is Tamei Mishum Kesem, meaning to say that if the stain found on the Eid She'eno Baduk is larger than the size of a bean, is larger than the gris, then she's going to be Tamei. That is the accepted halacha, although the other opinion is not completely and totally and thoroughly rejected. The opinion that you are entirely tahar is not completely rejected. But for our purposes, we will follow the opinion that Eid She'eno Baduk is like a kesem, which means you're a tameh when it is larger than a gris. The comparison between Eid She'eno Baduk and kesem leads the Taz, both at the very end of our simen and over here, to say that Eid She'eno Baduk is not a question of a deoraisa. The Taz has this in Os Chav Tes, where the Taz writes that even though the woman is doing an internal check, and even though one could argue that because she's doing an internal check, we should treat it like a suffix to Oraisa, because of the possibility that the internal check presents a hargasha. It's like she had that sensation, right? This was the Gemara Nun Zayin on the Beis that we spoke about. Dilma hargasha's aid. Nonetheless, the Taz writes that it's clear in the Gemara that we compare aid she'eino baduk to a kesem, and therefore it is only a din derabbanan. We do not take the chash of dilma hargasha's aid to create a d'oraisa. Why this is true is not 1,000,000% clear in the Taz, but the idea is probably similar to the Chavas Das that we spoke about, I don't remember, probably yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, the Chavas Das in Os Chav Zayin. If you remember, the Chavas Das says that the only time I say that an internal check is a d'oraisa is when the only possibility is that the blood came from within the woman. The only possibility is that's uterine blood. But I don't have a hargasha. I didn't have that sensation which creates it as a d'oraisa. In that situation, if you do an internal check, so we'll say, you know what, even though you didn't experience that sensation, nonetheless, you are still presumed tamei, because we assume that you had a hargasha. But in any situation where that blood might come from a different location, in any time that the blood could be not uterine, so then we will say that although there is a possibility that the internal check is masking the sensation of nida, nonetheless, because there's a possibility that came from the outside, we do not treat it like a d'oraisa. That is the comment of the Chavas Das in Os Chav Zayin. So in our case, if it's an aid she'eino baduk, so there is a possibility that the blood was on this cloth beforehand. Consequently, it is not certainly that the blood came from the woman, and therefore the hargashas aid does not make it to oraisa. The possibility that the woman experienced the hargasha, but it was just masked by this internal exam, the internal checking that she did, that only changes things when it is blood that is certainly uterine. But in our case, that the blood might not be uterine, so then the idea of hargashas aid, or the possibility of hargashas aid, does not make it to oraisa. Mr. Morel.
I just don't understand how that fits the lashon around. The Rambam says, "Discuss the shabbat above and car." I don't see any tfiya that.
So the Chavas Das understands that the Rambam is saying cheskas avil min hamakar is in a case where you know the dam is coming from the uterus, so it's chazaka that the blood came with the hargasha. That's why he understands it. But if the blood is not necessarily uterine, so I do not apply that chazaka that the blood came with hargasha.
Right.
That's exactly what the Chavas Das is saying.
You just say the
Rambam holds
it
correct,
maybe it is.
No. The whole Chavas Das, you can't say that. Chavas Das doesn't say that. No. That's like off limits. That you can't say. And the position, okay. So this is the first comment I wanted to make. So we're assuming that Eid She'eino Baduk, we treat it like a kesem, which means that you need a gris. And that means, according to the Taz, that it is not a d'oraisa. But we have not yet explained what a she'eino baduk is. And like everything in Judaism, the answer is machlokes, no? Is that the basic answer in
Judaism. It's like, so we, our religion is so easy. No, any question answers machlokas. It's great. So here's the story. What's this machlokas? So the position of Tosfos is that the only thing that is called an eid badok, the only time we treat the cloth like it is a checked cloth, an inspected cloth, is when the woman inspected that cloth immediately before using it. Anything short of that is going to be a is going to be an eid she'eino badok. The Beis Yosef tells me that this is not only the opinion of Tosfos, this is the opinion of the Ramban as well. However, in the footnotes on these new razzle-dazzle Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, they point out there are certain nuances of difference between Tosfos and the Ramban, which is not really worth going into. But the position of Tosfos is eid baduk is only checked immediately beforehand. If it was checked a little bit of time beforehand, according to Tosfos, that's called an eid she'eino baduk. And presumably, according to Tosfos, something that was checked a long time beforehand is going to be what we call an eid meluchlach. There is a third category of cloth that the Ramah makes famous here in Se'if Lamed Vav. Remember, eid baduk, the halacha is any tiny amount is tamei. Eid she'eino baduk is tamei if you have the size of a gris. Eid miluchlach, if it is dirty beforehand, the term dirty, whatever that means, according to Tosfos, dirty would mean it was checked, just it was checked a long time ago, and therefore I have a concern or a possibility that the woman took this cloth, walked in an area where there was dam that was spritzing, and perhaps that cloth got dirty. So therefore, I treat that like an eid miluchlach, and therefore it will be tahor. That would be the opinion of Tosfos and the Ramban, as understood by the Beis Yosef. However, this is not the accepted opinion in Judaism. The accepted opinion is the opinion of the Rashba. The Rashba says that an eid baduk means the cloth was checked at some point in time, and the cloth was checked and then left in a secure area. Eid she'eino baduk, according to the Rashba, is a cloth that was never checked, but it was intended for use. You buy a package of cloths. It was never looked at before you use it. You didn't leave the cloths in an area of the kitchen where like some meat could go spraying, but you never checked the cloths at all. Again, this might not be true of the cloths that women buy today in the mikveh. Could be that those are checked when they're manufactured. But let's say you have, like sometimes when women ask what to do when you don't have a bedikah cloth, so the suggestion is you take an undershirt and you cut it into small squares. You take a man's undershirt and you cut it into small squares. Now, any guy who has looked at their undershirt after it's been used a couple of times and washed a couple of times, it's not necessarily fully clean, no? According to the Rashba, if I cut an undershirt in little squares and I never check that undershirt, that is an eid she'eino baduk. That's what would be true according to the Rashba. Again, eid habaduk for the Rashba means I checked it at one point and I put it away securely. Eid she'eino baduk is I never checked it, but it was put in an area that's not presumed that blood fell on it. Eid miluchlach, the third most lenient category, the dirty aid for the Rashba, means that the aid was placed in an area that the aid was placed in an area that we can assume it became dirty.
So So it was never checked according to the Rashi. Does it ever have a sense?
If it was never checked according to the Rashi, but it cannot be an Eid Baduk. Eid Baduk has to be, it was checked at one point. Okay. If it was never checked, it's H.A. No Baduk.
Is it possible because it's little?
If it was never checked and was left in a dirty area, that's called an Eid Meluchlach. This is the simple reading of the Rashba. If it was checked once, that's an Eid Baduk. Checked once, put in a secure area, that's Eid Baduk. There is a line in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, in Se'if Ayin Aleph, where the Alter Rebbe writes that in his opinion, and the Shevet HaLevi makes a big deal about this, in the Alter Rebbe's opinion, if I checked a cloth and I put the cloth in a secure place, but it's been there for a very long time, so much so that possibly the woman took this cloth and moved the cloth somewhere, and she might not remember where she moved it. It's most of the Rami Alei de Enish. It's been so long, she might not remember where she moved it. So in that situation, the Alter Rebbe understands that according to the Rashba, that is not an Eid Baduk. The simple reading according to the Rashba is that if you check the cloth is an Eid Baduk. You check it and you leave it in a secure area, it's an Eid Baduk no matter what. The Alter Rebbe is saying that if it's been there for a very long time and there is a chance, any chance, that the woman took the cloth elsewhere, it loses its Eid Baduk status. Alternatively, if there's a chance that someone else took that cloth and moved it somewhere, it loses its Eid Baduk status. That's what the Alter Rebbe maintains in Shulchan Aruch. Does not seem like this opinion is accepted. Does not seem like this opinion is accepted. Again, if you look in the Shevet HaLevi on page 193, that's where he discusses that. Now, if you read the Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Lamed Vav, sometimes you have to read the Shulchan Aruch and then you have to read the Shulchan Aruch again with the Ramah's addition to the Shulchan Aruch. Right? You have to remember that the Ramah is the first commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, no? So the Mechaber writes, if a woman checks herself with an aid that is not baduk, she checks herself with a cloth that was not checked, even if you put it in a secure area and you find blood, you're tamei providing there is a gris. That's what the Mechaber says. Meaning, I would have thought that if you have an aid she'eino baduk, that you are entirely tahar, I would have thought, like that other opinion of Reb Yossi in the Gemara, that Eid She'eino Baduk is compared to the woman who sees blood in her urine, which is entirely tahar. I would have thought that. The Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, says, no, you're making a mistake. An Eid She'eino Baduk is going to be tamei if you have more than a gris. That is the Mechaber. However, the Ramah adds two words here. The Ramah adds, if she checks herself with an H.A.N.O. Baduk, even if she put it in a box and you find dam, Eina Tumea Ella Im Yesh Bak Gris Va'od. You're only Tumea if you have more than a gris. Meaning, the Ramah thinks that I would have thought, right? The Ramah thinks that Eina Tmea Ella Im Yeshba Kigris Va'od. I would have thought that you are Tame even with less than a gris. I would have thought that you are Tame even with less than that. The effect of the Ramah is that I would have thought that if the blood is Mashuch, Mashuch means that it comes on the cloth and it appears like it came from the body. It's not like circular. It's, how would we translate mashuk in like English?
Elongated,
right? It's like, even if it's elongated and the evidence would seem to indicate that it came from her body, Nonetheless, the Rama says, still, by Eishaino Batuk, you need Gris Va'od. Effectively, what the Rama is presenting is a Kula. What the Mechaber is presenting is a Chumra. I like the way the Shevet Halevi says this, because it's actually a nice, careful read of the Rama. Okay. There is a case in Se'if Lamed Zayin as follows. A woman checks herself with an Eid She'eino Badok. You have one of these cloths which was not checked. Let's take the Rashba's definition, which is accepted, meaning it was a cloth that was never checked, but the cloth was just hanging around with the intention of being used, never checked, like the cut undershirt that we explained. So if you check yourself with a unchecked cloth, and then she sticks it on her thigh, and then you see blood on it, even if that blood is larger than a gris, you are tahora. Even if that blood is larger than the size of a bean, larger than 19 millimeters, she is tahora. Take that cloth and you stick it against your thigh. Toso says you're sticking it against your thigh in an area that vaginal blood or blood from the vaginal area would not get to. It's like on the outside of the thigh, not on the inside of the thigh. In that case, the Shulchan Aruch says it's tahar. And the explanation for this is because it's what we call a spek sveka. It's a double suffix. Perhaps the blood was on the cloth beforehand. Perhaps the blood came from the body, or the blood was on the outer part of her thigh beforehand. Because there's a double suffix, so the Shulchan Aruch says, you're good to go, you're tahar. Comes along Rabbi Shamsi HaKohen Rappaport, 1621 to 1662, and he says, dude, you're just wrong over here. Because the Shach tells me that this is not called a Svek Seika. As I wrote, this is what the Shach says, as I wrote in the rules of Svek Seika. Now, the rules of Svek Seika are tremendously complex. So much so, they appear in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yud. They're so complex that Shulchan Aruch writes, you should not try to create your own Svek Sveikas because you're likely to mess up. Right? Svek Sveika is really tough. The Shach tells me over here that we do not consider this a Svek Sveika because in this case, everything is one suffix. The suffix is whether the blood is uterine or not uterine. There are two possible ways that this blood could not be uterine. It could be not uterine because the blood was on the cloth from beforehand, because it's an H.A.N.O. Badok. It could be it's not uterine because the blood came from some external source and ended up on her thigh. But no matter what the possibility is, it's ultimately a single suffix. Is the blood uterine or not uterine? And the Shach holds that we do not say a Svek Sveika when ultimately there are two possibilities that are going against one Chumrah possibility. I have one Chumrah possibility. Maybe the blood is uterine. In each other case, I'm still dealing with maybe the blood is uterine. Right? Effectively, it's a 50-50 case. Right? Maybe the blood is uterine. 25% likelihood the blood was on the cloth from beforehand. 25% likelihood the blood ended up on her thigh. It's still 50-50. We still have to be machmir. That's what the Shach says in here in Se'if Katin Memhei. Just give me a second. Let me finish the thought. The reason why this Shach is not accepted, and all the Achronim disagree with the Shach, the Badei HaShulchan in letter Shin Mem Hei disagrees, the Toras HaShlomim over here disagrees. The reason why they disagree is probably because It's possible that the Shach who says that a Svek Sveka that we'll call Mishim Echad, right? The Svek Sveka is only one Suffek. Is it uterine blood or is it not uterine blood? There's just two possibilities how it's not uterine blood. It could be that a Svek Sveka Mishim Echad is going to be mutter on a Din D'Rabbanan. It is not abundantly clear when you read the Chloe Svek Sveka of the Shach there in Simin Kuf Yud, Os Yud Gimel, that he references here. It's not abundantly clear that on a Din D'Rabbanan, the Shach would hold that Svek Sveka has to be two Shemos, has to be two entirely discrete possibilities. It could be that on Dinim D'Rabbanan, like our case, where the woman did not have hargasha, she did not have a sensation when the flow is coming out. So it could be that in that case, the Shach himself would admit that Sveka does not have to be Mishnei Shemos. If you look in the Klali Sveka of the Shach, and in the Achronim over there, the cheat sefer is just to be Bebadei HaShulchan on these. Dinim in Kuf Yud, Klali Sveka of the Shach, letter Yud Gimel. So many Achronim hold that on Drabunans we are, it's not necessary to have Shnei Shemos, but the Shach himself is speaking about Drabunan and he still requires Shnei Shemos. I think that's what emerges. In middle of this Shach, in middle of this lengthy Shach, he points out that although one can infer from Rashi that Rashi is saying that by a double suffix would be permitted, nonetheless, he thinks that Rashi does not mean by a double suffix it's permitted. All Rashi means is that by a double suffix, we are going to say that for purposes of taharos, it is okay. But for purposes of being with her husband, it could be it is still forbidden. Again, if you go through this shach, those are his points. Mr. Ackerman, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say that maybe against the Taz and also against the Achronim that hold against the Shach are arguing about this one of maybe the Shach's quality for Sarsurga about whether this is happening and that maybe that's what they're debating about.
Possible, but honestly, you need to be a tremendous bucket. You need to know a ton in order to make that type of statement. Possibly. I don't know. There are very few people on this planet who know all of the kloem of Svek Sveka according to the Shach. I'm just reporting on what I see over here. This discussion about Baduk versus Eino Baduk appears not only with respect to the cloths that the woman uses to check herself, but appears in Se'ifim Lamed Tes, basically through the end of the Simen until the very end with respect to a woman who borrows a dress from someone else. Again, this does not come up in our world, women wear underpants and you don't borrow dirty dresses and we're not going into those dinim. But the conversation with respect to how I define baduk versus eino baduk, that conversation has its origin in the discussion of chaluk habaduk, of a checked shirt versus a shirt that is not checked. Let us move on to Se'if Nun Dalad. Se'if Nun Dalad tells me that Ksamim do not have the halachos of Veses. So before we get into this, we just have to briefly explain what is Veses. Veses means, the Gemara in Shavuos tells me, based on the pasuk v'hizartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumosam, that a husband has to separate from his wife at the time that she is expecting her period. Now, in the halacha, there are two types of cases that we assume you are expecting your period. One case is a veses kavua. A veses kavua means that the woman has already created a pattern. For example, this woman sees blood. We always use the Jewish calendar. She sees blood on the 17th
day of every Hebrew month. So she saw the 17th of Tishrei, 17th of Mar Cheshvan, 17th of Kislev. That means she has a Veses Kavua. She has established a set pattern that she sees blood on the 17th of the month. There is also a Veses She'eino Kavua. Veses She'eino Kavua means that a woman sees blood, let's say, on the 17th of Tishrei. She has to be concerned that she will see again on the 17th of Cheshvan. That's a Veses She'eino Kavua. We're worried that you are in the process of establishing a pattern. You have not yet established a pattern. In halacha, these things are very different. Once a pattern has been established, so then the halacha does not allow us to get rid of that pattern so easily. So a woman has a set pattern to see blood the 17th of every month, and then she goes for 3 months and she does not see blood on the 17th of the month. But in month number 4, she sees blood on the 17th of the month again. Okay, so let's go. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, right? She established a pattern she sees on the 17th. Right? You have to remember the calendar. After Kislev comes Teves, Shvat Adar, right? So in those 3 months, she does not see blood on the 17th. Nisan, she sees blood on the 17th again. So her pattern has clicked back in. A set pattern cannot be eradicated so easily. If, however, it's a Veses She'eino Kavua, so then you could eradicate it, chick chak boom. She sees blood on the 17th of Tishrei. You're nervous she'll see blood on the 17th of Cheshvan. If she doesn't see blood on the 17th of Cheshvan, so you forget about the fact that she saw blood on the 17th of Tishrei. This is the thumbnail sketch of Veses. Shulchan Aruch tells me that Veses only applies to a woman who has a full period. Ksamen, a woman who finds a stain, and the stain is on her garment, and it's a stain that makes her tummy, right? This is going to be very rare. It's a stain larger than 19 millimeters that's found on the white thing that is susceptible to tumah. In that case, she sees the blood. There is no veses at all on ksamen. Zero veses on ksamen. That's the halacha. However, the thing that we've been discussing for the last day, meaning if you find blood on a bedika cloth, if you have an eid habaduk and you find blood on that, so in that situation, we assume that there is a veses. Kisme eid habaduk, there is a veses. This all comes from the Rashba in Shar HaKsamim, Shar Gimel, Oskof Tes. The Rashba tells me the only time you establish a Veses by Ksamim is Kisme Eid Habaduk.
We're assuming less than a gris also.
What?
We're assuming even less than a gris.
Even less than a gris. A tiny, any tiny amount on the Bedika cloth renders her Tamea, and she establishes a Veses based on that. There is a discussion about when I say kisme eid habaduk, that establishes a pattern, does that mean only when she sees blood on that clean bedika cloth 3 times on the same day? On the 17th day of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, she sees blood on a clean bedika cloth, then establishes a veses. But the halacha of veses she'eino kavua does not apply to kisme eid habaduk, meaning if she sees blood on a clean bedika cloth on the 17th of Tishrei, she need not worry that
on the 17th of Cheshvan, she will see blood on the clean batik cloth as well. That is the accepted halacha, that the din of kismei eid habaduk, which establishes a pattern, is only that it establishes a veses kavula, but we need not worry for a veses she'ino kavula. When I say this is the established halacha, this is, right, this is, by the way, to my mind, one of the only times that Reb Fivel Cohen, the Badei HaShulchan, uses the term shamati. Rabbi Simon once pointed out to me. Reb Fivel Cohen is a Mishnah Berurah, very text-based. It says this in the Sefer, it says this in the Sefer. Over here he writes, shamati, I heard that poskim say that there is no veses she'eino kavua on kismei eid habaduk. He tries to defend where it comes from in the Be'urim. He says perhaps there's an inference from a line in the Lavush. But ultimately, right, the minhag is that there is no veses she'eino kavua on eid habaduk. And it's not clear where this minhag comes from, but that is the accepted halacha. It's also the accepted halacha that if a woman checks herself, let's say on a regular veses day, she checks herself with an eid baduk and she finds blood. And then 2 days later, or 1 day later, she gets her full-fledged period. When I make the calculations, only based on her full-fledged period, not based on the check that happened before the full-fledged period. That's also the accepted halacha. On that second point, Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted, I believe, by Rabbi Eider in his book as disagreeing, but again, not accepted. Now, this halacha that a stain that's found on an eid habaduk can establish a veses, the Taz infers that it's only a stain that's found on an eid baduk, but a stain that's found on an eid she'eino baduk. Right? Remember, we had this case of a cloth that is not previously inspected. Let's say, according to the Rashba, it's a cut undershirt that you leave in a safe location. It was never inspected. Eid she'eino baduk, even though the stain is larger than a gris, and it will make the woman tmei'a, but nonetheless, it does not establish a veses. And this, says the Taz, is proof that he is right, that we do not treat an eid she'eino baduk as a potential de'oraisa. It's not a suffix de'oraisa at all. Even though she inserted that cloth internally, and even though one might have argued that it's a suffix de'oraisa, because possibly there's a hargosha, says the Shach, ain't no such bird. That is, says, excuse me, the Taz, ain't no such bird. Sorry, I said Shach, I meant Taz. There is another discussion in the Achronim, which is, let's say a woman sees blood without hargosha. She sees blood, and she does not have the sensation that the blood came from her. What's the halacha in that case? So the Alter Rebbe writes in his Shulchan Aruch that you only establish a veses if you see blood with hargosha. Blood without hargosha, there is no veses at all. Blood without hargosha is considered like a kesem. Reb Fivel Cohen and letter Tuf Kuf Gimel quotes those who disagree with the Alter Rebbe. According to the Alter Rebbe, one can make a strong case that we do not have any vestos at all today, no? If you remember, we began the semester with the discussion, what does hargosha mean today? Right? Most women have zero sensation. According to the Alter Rebbe, that there's only vestos if you have a sensation, right? And you don't have any of the fancy explanations that we developed as to why we have hargosha today. So one could argue that there is no concern at all for the prediction of vestos. Obviously, this is not accepted, right? When women go to challah classes, this is, I think, what many women consider like the hardest lesson in challah classes, Right? What exactly is the predictability of Vestos? What do you have to be nervous about? What don't you? According to the Alter Rebbe, Judaism is easy, right? Awesome. No such thing as Vestos today. Obviously, this is not accepted, but it's awesomely cool. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful day.